John chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's read together now, please. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these encouraging words we read from the Word of God. Please bless us this morning. Help us to understand what you have for us from the Word of God this morning. Help us to be better Christians. Help us to honor you better with our lives and be the type of person we need to be for our homes and our city and our country. God, please help us. Now, Father, we would ask you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power as he comes to preach to us. Use him today. Help him. And Father, one more thing. If there's someone in this room this morning that does not know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that they're going to heaven, I pray they'd settle it at the invitation time. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask you to look straight up this morning. You see those panels in the ceiling? If your cell phone goes off, we have people up there. That panel will slide open and someone's going to hit you right in the head with a rock. So turn it to off or to vibrate and help us out this morning, because your neighbor's dressed up nice for church, so they don't want to get your blood all over their clothes. Okay, so help us with that. We would appreciate that very much today. Please listen very carefully. It is now noon and we're supposed to be finished with church. We're not going to. I just wanted you to know we're supposed to be finished with church. I'm going to talk to you about a very serious subject this morning. Very serious. I'm going to talk to you about your joy. Years ago, one of these cults knocked on our door. We knock on doors. We're not cults, by the way. They knocked on the door, and a man was standing there with a brochure in his hand. He held it up, and he goes, "This is what he did. I want to give you this tract, tell you how to find happiness." I don't know. Maybe it's the slight tinge of sarcasm I have in my life. I'm not sure. But I said, "Did you read it?" And it had a hole in the screen because we had children. Had a hole in the screen, and he started to push it through there. And I go, no, thank you. I said, "If that gives happiness, you're not a good testimony." You know, that's the number one answer people give to the man on the street question. What do you want most out of life? The number one answer. I just want to find happiness in life. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus says in this one verse, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Two types of joy there. His, Jesus's, and yours. And his will definitely affect yours. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look, let's understand this morning that joy is not just about laughing and smiling and being happy all the time. It's interesting today. In a lot of churches now, they're bringing in, instead of preachers, they bring in Christian comedians who get up and tell jokes. And I mean, it's like a nightclub thing. Well, most of the churches look like nightclubs anyway. But the truth is, I mean, that's what they do. They bring in Christian comedians because they think people need to laugh more than anything else. Laughter's a good thing. You laughed a few times this morning. You'll probably laugh a few times before the message is over. And unfortunately, it won't be because I tried to be funny. You'll be laughing at me. But the truth is, there's nothing wrong with laughter. Laughter's good for the health. Expels air in the lungs that never get expelled any other time except the good let it go laughter. But joy isn't really about laughter. I don't know how you can have joy and not have a smile on your face every now and then anyway. I don't know how you can not have joy and not know some degree of happiness in your life. But in the Bible, joy is simply this. It's a settled, peaceful understanding that everything is going to be okay. Now, that comes from hope, and hope comes from God's Word, unless you put your hope on something else or in someone else. A lot of people today, they're very disappointed in life. They put their hope in people or things or stuff, you know what I mean? And then they put their hope in a plan for retirement days. Then they got all the way to retirement and found out that what they had put their hope in wasn't going to bring them happiness anyway. That's not everybody, but many have found that today. Some people are, they put their hope in the things that they think makes the world happy, and yet we live in a very unhappy world. So whatever would make, laughter's not going to last very long. Happiness comes from the word happenstance, which means it happens to just be. Joy, biblical joy. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. And then, if it is, and it does, and it should, then he said, your joy will be full. The word full is an interesting word. It means to have a full net of fish. It means to be satisfied after a good meal. Analogy. You ever get a craving for something? You want a steak, a nice cut of meat about the size of Texas. And you go to your wife and you say, honey, I want to get a steak. And she says, let's get a salad. And you think to yourself, leaves? I'm thinking meat. She's thinking leaves. Then you look at a salad bar and you realize what a Texan said when he first saw a salad bar. He said, food eats that stuff. Nothing wrong with salad as long as there's a steak along next to the salad. Then you get a craving for things. I found when I got into my 50s, I got cravings for things. I mean, they just hit you really hard. And nothing will substitute. Nothing. I was driving past one of these barbecue places in town. I got the big barbecue out in the front and that kind of thing. And I was just driving along. I got things to do, busy day yesterday, and a lot of come. Drive past there and the barbecue smoke hit my car. And I had the vents open. And I had to drive for blocks. Smelling barbecue ribs. Ladies and gentlemen, I can drive down, walk down a road and smell the barbecue. And I can tell you what they're cooking. I can tell you whether they put barbecue sauce or dry rub on it. I can tell you whether it's pork, beef, or chicken, or hot dogs. Last night, the wife and I took a stroll and somebody was roasting marshmallows in our neighborhood. I could smell it. I said, you smell that, honey? Somebody's roasting marshmallows. You get a craving for something and then you get really hungry. And then you eat until you're like my Okie people say, you're full as a tick on a dog. Then you're satisfied. I said, isn't that gluttony? Not if it's on purpose. Now remember that. Whatsoever thy hand findeth, put it in thy mouth. That's what the Bible says. And then you get the satisfaction of a full meal. That's the illustration. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy, Jesus' joy, might remain in you. And if it does, then he said, then your joy will be like a full net of fish. Your joy will be complete. You'll be satisfied fully and complete. You'll have a satisfying joy. Now, ladies and gentlemen, whatever that is, we better find that today. And whatever it is, we better get a hold of that today. And whatever it is, we better not accept temporary substitutes for these things. What are people doing today? There is some kind of sporting event going on 24 hours a day practically, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. They overlap each other now. They're playing baseball and hockey and basketball at the same time. Give it a few more weeks and they'll start football preseason and it'll all run together. And when that runs out, then they have ping pong tournaments or squash or volleyball or something going on. And people will crowd arenas and stadiums and shout and yell and scream and have such joy to watch their team win, and then they leave the stadium and before go out there and lose all their joy getting stuck in traffic trying to get away from the very stadium where they found such extreme joy. And they wonder why they're not happy, because all their joy is temporary. It is all based on things that will not last. Jesus is talking about a joy, his joy, that if it is in us, that joy will remain and be full. Now that the world cannot give you. There's nothing they afford that gives you. One day you get an award, the next day you get a divorce. One day you get an award, the next day you're the bum on the planet. One day you get this from the world, one day the world thinks you're the greatest athlete on the planet, the next day they trade you to a football team somewhere else that couldn't win a baseball game if they tried. That's the world stuff. The joy that the world provides. It does provide a joy. It does. There's no question. There is joy. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But it is never remaining full, satisfying, completing joy. Now let's get it this morning. Let's understand. When I started the message today saying it's a serious subject, it really is a serious subject. I can stand up here and tell you all the funny jokes that I know, and I know a lot of jokes. Tell you all the funny jokes I know, every funny story I can think of, we could just laugh and get up and go home and say, boy, that's joy. No, that'd been laughter and fun. And if it's clean and right, there's nothing wrong with that. But how long will that last you? Till you get in front of one of these Baptists on their way to hometown buffet, it's over. That's it. Till you go home and realize it's the first of the month and the bills are due. Let's get this one great truth about joy this morning from the Bible. This is it. Joy is not a goal. It is a byproduct. Joy is not a goal. It is a byproduct. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. And then other things mentioned there. But joy is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is a byproduct of the tree. The tree gives the fruit, the life to the fruit and the growth, etc. But the fruit in reality is what people want from a tree. You don't want to go out and eat bark, you want the fruit. You don't want to go out and eat the leaves, you want the fruit. But in reality, in relationship to the fruit and the tree, the fruit is a byproduct. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. By the way, and gentleness and meekness and faith and temperance. Those things that people think are so important. Boy, peace of mind, love of God, love of people, love like I should love, joy in my life. It's thrown in on the side in the Spirit-filled life. When the Holy Spirit controls our life, the Bible says He will produce joy. It'll come from Him, not from what's outside of my life. It'll come from here. It'll come from the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. So we don't seek joy. There's no verse in the Bible that tells you to go out, try and find joy in life, pal. Go out and seek it in your life. See people climbing mountains, and I don't know why in the world they do that. I have no idea. I have a fear of heights. I don't even like being this tall. I don't understand climbing mountains. That doesn't make any sense to me. God, they climb mountains. They do things. They risk their lives, and they get some kind of joy out of the adrenaline of coming that close to death and then escaping death. Well, how stupid is that? That doesn't make any sense to me. They get joy out of buying and selling. They get joy out of accomplishing and achieving. Most of those things, there's nothing wrong with them. But question, then you got to climb another mountain and a higher mountain and a taller mountain, and you got to try the different kind of rapids. You got to accomplish this thing. If you sell something for this amount, then you got to sell it for that much more next time. You got to increase your income. Now, all the facts, all those things are temporary. They only last while you accomplish them, while you attain them and achieve them, and then they're gone. Jesus talked about remaining joy. That would stay with you. You see, it's a goal. This is not a goal. Joy is never a goal in the Bible. It is a byproduct. God puts it in on the side. He just throws. So what people out there, you ask the man on the street, what do you want out of life? He'll tell you, if I could just find some happiness in life, I'd be okay. And he's trying to find happiness when the Bible says, no. It's a byproduct. It's something God just gives you when the Spirit of God controls your life. And then it says in Galatians 5:23, against such there is no law. That means this: there is no law of man, nature, or otherwise that can counteract the Holy Spirit producing joy in your life. You can't stop it. The worst news you ever got in your life, the worst trial you've ever been through in your life, the deepest valley you have ever walked, the darkest midnight you have ever experienced, the worst thing that you could possibly imagine happened to you in your life could not stop the fruit of the Spirit being joy and God producing that in your life. The Spirit-filled life. That comes from the Holy Spirit living in here, inside of you. That comes at salvation. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says the Spirit of God comes to live inside of us, makes up a house inside of you, and you become the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives here. Now the source of joy and love and peace and the other things, that's here now. So without salvation, you're never going to find it. I've been to places in this world, ladies and gentlemen, and watched people in their religious efforts accomplish things that frankly embarrass the average Baptist. It's embarrassing. Watch them walking on fire, barefoot, after they pierced their bodies with swords and with knives and beat themselves with whips and cut their flesh. Then get in a frenzy, they have a coal of fire, a coal of things on the ground, and they get there with their bare feet and they walk across very slowly. And they do this all in adoration of their God. And they do it with joy. And they laugh and they have a great time. It's incredible. But you know what's sad, ladies and gentlemen, is that kind of joy is only found on a bed of coals. It's only found after you beat yourself. It's all temporary stuff. The Bible tells us this. That when Jesus' joy remains in you, your joy is full. So see, I need the Jesus of the joy in my heart first and in my life. Do you know Him, friend? Do you know Christ as your Savior today? Have you accepted the one whose joy will make our joy full? Byproduct, joy, not a goal. Jesus is what I need. That's what I need. I need salvation. Need to trust Christ as my Savior. Listen now, and be sure that I have settled this thing clearly, simply, trusted Jesus Christ for my salvation, accepted His payment on the cross for my forgiveness, His resurrection for my eternal life. You put your trust in Christ, and Jesus says, and the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me, and he will come and remain and stay." And when he comes, he brings his joy with him. Then I find that as Christians, something happens to the joy of Jesus in our life. For some of us today, I want to talk to you quickly about this. We need to find and understand what it means to have a remaining joy. This remaining joy is the joy that Jesus had now. The verse says again, look at it. "These things have I written and spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." Jesus' joy. The joy he had when he walked this earth, homesick, not for Bethlehem, not for Nazareth, for heaven, homesick. 33 homesick years Jesus walked this earth, born of a virgin, godless son in human flesh. He was out of place, out of time, out of his environment. He wasn't where he belonged. He was on earth and heaven was his home. But for 33 years, Jesus had that kind of joy. And for 33 years, the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Rejected, despised. Read it again this morning at the Lord's Supper time. I always read Isaiah 53 while we have Lord's Supper. Talking about he was rejected and despised and rejected of men. That's why Jesus walked this earth, but he still had joy. Then they take him, beat him like an animal, strip him naked and nail him to a cross in a public place. Stand at the foot of that cross and spit on him and defy him to pull the nails out of his hands and feet and come down from the cross. And the Bible says, Hebrews 12 and verse 2, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You mean he had joy on the cross? Crucified, became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him? Yes. Even in the midst of all that, he still had joy. Now, that's what I would call a remaining joy. Now, look here. The Bible says if Jesus, what he told us, he, Jesus, would bring a joy that would remain in our lives. For some of us today as Christians, we have, frankly, lost the joy that God has given us, that joy of salvation, that joy of being a new Christian. You say, well, that kind of wears off, Pastor Johnson. I've been saved since I was 9 years old, ladies and gentlemen. I'm 56 years old today. Every time I take Lord's Supper and I think about my Savior, it moves my heart. I think about it. I realize what an amazing thing it is that He loved me before I ever loved Him. He knew me before I ever knew He was. He knew what I was, strong, weak, and all the rest of it. He knew what I'd become, and He still loved me. Question, as the Savior who saved you, is He still that first place person in your life? Jesus didn't say He and something else would bring you a joy that would remain. He said He would bring you joy. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." It doesn't mean, please listen carefully, it doesn't mean that if you as a Christian, a child of God, you accept Christ, you don't live right, Jesus leaves you. No, He promised to never leave us or forsake us. But it does mean this. It does mean that the fellowship and the blessing of the Lord Jesus' presence is not as sweet as it was before. and you have severed yourself from the source of that joy in your life. It's about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about getting what you want. It's about living the way He wants. A remaining joy. Remaining in the Bible doesn't require a lot of definition, friend. It means stays for good. Jesus is the source of that joy. Some of us today, we need a restored joy. David knew what that was in Psalm 51 in verse number 12. And I ask you not to turn there just for a moment if you would, but not to turn there. Just stay with me here. Psalm 51 in the Bible is what's called the penitent psalm. It's the psalm that David was given by God right after he had sinned with Bathsheba. Committed adultery, then had Bathsheba's husband murdered. When David was confronted about his sin and the way he lived his life, David repented. And he asked God's forgiveness. Now listen to me. And he did more than use words, friend. He got right about what he did. And in his getting right about what he had done in his life, he said in Psalm 51 and verse 12, he asked the Lord this. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Hey, friend, look at me. Do you understand as a Christian this morning, a child of God, if your joy is gone, it's not because of your geography. It's not because of your condition, your circumstances. It's not because of what goes on in your life or doesn't go on. That's not the issue this morning. Look at me this morning. A joy that's restored is a joy that's restored with honest repentance in our life. David got right about what he had done. Didn't just say, "Well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it." No. David was repentant. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." David made an honest statement before God about what his condition was before the Lord, got right about it, and then asked God to restore the joy of thy salvation, the salvation he had been given, that he knew, a freshness that was given there. Some of us need that today. But what we do is we fear the repentance instead of fearing loss and lack of joy in our life. Look here, we'd rather have the pleasures of sin for a season. That would be more convenient than going ahead and getting right about some things in our life and letting God restore the joy. I'd rather have the joy, friend. Do you understand that? There is no pleasure sin can provide and no pleasure that wrong can give you that can last as long as the remaining restored joy God will put in your life. I've often said I'm going to put a camera up here. We have them around the back of the auditorium. Put me a camera, a video camera, right up there above that cross. And shine it right down on the faces of this auditorium. And then over a period of time, give you a video of your countenance as you came to this church. Because one thing I can most definitely see is when something's not right in the heart of a child of God, the countenance bespeaks the condition of the heart. And things change. Now, one more time, if you sit there and smile throughout everything that goes on in church, you're probably on the wrong medication. All right? That's probably what that means. You probably need to take maybe one less pill next time before you come to church. We've had people come here and say amen at the wrong time. "And then his mother died. Amen!" They're not even paying attention. They have no idea what's going on. Okay, I understand that. Yeah, wonderful. No, that's not wonderful. They weren't paying attention to what was going on. Okay, laughing boy and all those guys. But the truth is, that happens, okay? But ladies and gentlemen, listen, there is no mistaking the fact that when a child of God is right with God, there is joy on their face. Now, again, they may not smile all the time. I've seen people in this church, and they're here this morning, whose joy is expressed by their tears. But they still know everything's going to be all right because God's in control and God's in charge. And as best as you know how, everything's all right between you and your God. The Bible says in Psalm 126, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." That's strange. You mean you could even have joy standing by the graveside of a loved one? Uh-huh. Joy of heaven. Joy of eternal life. Joy of a strong, straight, healthy body. Joy of the fact that their fight is done and finished here in this life. Interesting, isn't it? Remaining joy. Restored joy. And then in John 15 and verse number 11, he talks about a renewed joy because that's what the word "full" is also encompassing here. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full to capacity." Well, sometimes the tank gets a little bit low. So what do we need? We need somebody to tell us a funny story that'll make us laugh. I have to watch myself. I like to kid around with people. But you know what you don't want? You don't want to be in the hospital having had some kind of abdominal surgery, and then the funny man comes in and gets you laughing. Then you're in trouble. That's not pleasant. I have to watch myself. I really do. I have to be very careful. Because then they're holding the pillow. And then it's not funny. So sometimes the tank runs a little low on the joy, yes? Sometimes something sort of besets us. Trouble falls upon us. Then you know what, ladies and gentlemen? The truth is we need to understand that there needs to be a renewal of joy in our life. And it comes very simply from verse 11 where Jesus said, "The things I have spoken unto you, that will cause me to have a joy that will remain in you." And then guess what will happen? Then your joy will be full. Christian, do you have a clear and consistent relationship with the Word of God? Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you." Right here. This is the stuff. It's not only recorded there in John 15:11, but this is all the Word of God. Our dear deaf friends, when they interpret the interpretation of sign for the Bible is the Jesus book. It's all His Word, ladies and gentlemen, all of it, from Genesis to Revelation. Do you have a good relationship with the Bible? Is it a piece of furniture in your house, or is it a source of light and hope and strength and foundation? Does it give light to your feet and lamp to your path? Does the Word of God, Jesus said, "What I have spoken unto you will cause my joy to remain in you." And then He said, "Then your joy will be full." So it's my relationship with the Bible that affects my joy and the renewing of that joy. My tank gets a little bit low. You know what I need to do? I need to get with God. And I need to get with the God who wrote the Bible and get the Bible in my heart, in my mind, and spend time in the Word of God. Yield to the Spirit of God's control. He will produce joy in my life instead of running, hiding, backing up, backing off. It's always interesting. You see a Christian started getting out sideways with God in their life. What do? They put their Bible down. Stop reading the Bible. Next thing is what? Stay away from church. Bible preaching church. Now they'll go to churches that, you know, just kind of goof off and have a little fun and go home. You come to Shasta Baptist Church, I promise you this. Sunday school, 10 o'clock. Preaching, 11 o'clock. Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 p.m. You will get the Word of God every time you come here. You'll get it in the nursery for your babies. You'll get it in Sunday school for your children. You'll get it in the teen department for the young people. You'll get it in every adult class that we teach here. We teach the Bible. That's the key, and that's what happens. A Christian who doesn't want to do what the Bible says stays away from a good Bible preaching church, and what they do then is they back off from a renewal of their joy. They miss that which they need in their life. Say, "Well, my life's too messed up. I just need to back off." No, 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 no. Again, that's like saying you're too sick to go to the hospital. Now, that's backwards. I need to get my Bible at home and read it, and I need to go to church where the Bible is preached and taught. I need to commit it. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." Have you ever just sit down and realized how many verses of Scripture do you know by memory? And you ever just quote some Scripture just as much as you can think of? The great John 14:33, Jesus wept. I know that one. And then there's one of the longest verses in the Bible. And I know that one. And then Genesis 1:1 and John 3:16 and Psalm 1 and Psalm 119, 165. And then it's amazing what the Word of God will do. Jesus said, "I've spoken these things unto you that my joy might remain in you." Not just Him, but what He said will cause a renewal of joy in your life. You can actually get a little happy and enjoy yourself. And you won't find yourself standing in front of somebody's door going, like you read, just find how there's happiness in your life. No, I tell you this morning. I'd like you to read this. This is how you find happiness in life. Because this is what Jesus said. And then His joy comes. And when He comes, your joy is full. And it's renewed. And it's restored, and it's made right. There is nothing we would hold on to in our life that should be more precious to us than being right with our God and having the joy of Jesus in our lives. So it is a serious thing, this thing about joy. Life will take its turns, my friend, and there will be hills and valleys in this journey. Sometimes the road is a little crooked, and sometimes it's a little rough. But Jesus' joy remains because throughout His entire life and ministry when He walked this earth, even in His most trying and difficult hours, Jesus had a joy that remained with Him. And Christ in your life, yielded to Him as you should be, will bring a joy that will remain in you and be as full as a net full of fish. as full as a good meal and its satisfaction, and something that lasts and continues with you in your life. So how is your joy this morning? Do you measure it by what the world considers joy? If we asked you, how's your joy this morning, would you say, well, Pastor Johnson, I'm as happy as most? I don't know a whole lot of happy people. I know people have some joy in their life. Let's stand to our feet, please, would you, this morning.